Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
So, Bart, let's just turn the conversation onto the football side of things, shall we? Because we have – are you still hearing that, by the way? Yeah. We're having some audio issues, I think, right now that we'll have to work on. But hopefully you can hear me, and so we'll go from there. So, Darren Waller, when it comes to the Giants, and the Giants are in their OTAs.
Yeah.
We've talked a lot about the Jets, but let's get into the Giants, who are a very interesting team going into this season.
Very interesting.
And they're interesting in so many ways because, again, they're the team that made the playoffs, won a playoff game.
Yeah.
And you're wondering, was that sort of the anomaly, or is this we should hold them to that standard?
Much like, tougher schedule this year, too.
Of course. Yeah. No.
And the toughest division with, you know, the Super Bowl contending favorites.
Yeah. They could be a team that, with the Eagles and the Cowboys and their division, and the NFC is not nearly the gauntlet that the AFC is, but it's still, like, for the Giants, where they measure up. But one key addition that they made in this offseason, which they really haven't done a lot of big additions. I mean, Okereke was a nice addition, of course. But Darren Waller was a sneaky trade move that they made that does upgrade.
A risky one as well, too.
Yeah, yeah. You want to explain why it's risky?
Well, listen, he hasn't been healthy. He's 34 years old. He's a guy that, you know, has a checkered past. Not a checkered past. He's overcome a lot of demons to come out on the other side. But you wonder how much he has left. And in this market, we're going to see if he's built for this market as well. Mm. As high criticism comes here. Remember how talented Evan Engram was, but he was the same guy that you loved. He made great catches, but when you need him the most, you know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. 7-Eleven.com.
Uh-oh. What happened?
Yeah.
Something big.
DeAndre Hopkins released outright.
Released?
He can go anywhere he wants to go.
Released. Oh, yeah, Dan Graziano right here. So it's not 7-Eleven.
And he said, and he's been saying, he wants to go play with
Josh Allen. Interesting. So Dan Graziano reporting this right now is that the Cardinals discussed trades of DeAndre Hopkins with several teams, but his $19 million salary was an impediment. So now he's free to sign with any team on a new contract, and they're going to carry $21 million in dead money cap charge.
That lets you know they have no intentions on being competitive this year. They're trying to get a top five pick because Kyler Murray probably may not even play but one or two games at the end of the season. They're mailing this season in.
Wow. So you just said Josh Allen, right?
He said he wanted to play with Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes.
Damn.
That's all bad news for us.
Not Aaron Rodgers?
I know we were talking about the Giants, and I don't want to shortchange the Giants, but that is very, very concerning right there, and I had to break in with 7-Eleven.com, forwarded by Dan Graza.
Of course, yeah. No, I put it right on. It came up on my feed the minute you said, oh, no, and I knew something's going on news-wise. I'm glad we got into football here because this is going to be part of certainly the story.
Oh, this is going to be huge. We might have to have a Saturday edition of Get Up. No, probably not.
Please not. Right. And just outright release, which is really so something else.
That really, they're doing something for it. That lets them know that lets you know that they didn't care and they were mailing this season in. They see this themselves as a rebuilding organization under new leadership and a new coach.
I tell you
what. Also, you have to look at the writing on the wall, everybody. You know, Much how we talk about Russell Wilson and how where we were talking about today, we think about the fact that, you know, Sean Payton says, hey, I didn't sign him and I'll walk away from that salary cap hit and do what I have to do. Remember what's coming up this season. This season is supposed to be three generational or really great quarterbacks coming out. Caleb from USC. You got the kid May, I think, from North Carolina. So they may be saying, let's tank. Remember, this was a team that under previous ownership, you know, before, took a quarterback seventh, and the next year with the number one pick took Kyler Murray. Mm-hmm. So the same thing make you laugh, make you cry, because if they get that type of record this year, because I can't expect them to win a lot of games, especially in a division that I don't think they're better than the three teams in their division, San Francisco, you know, the Rams, Seattle. So they could be a top two pick or maybe number one pick there, and they could be replacing Kyler Murray, who should be on notice because how he walks around that organization. So, man, this is big news that can have a ripple effect, because now the balance of power can be slated. I mean, what about Baltimore? What about a lot of teams?
Well, let me fill in the blanks for you then, as you're asking questions. First and foremost, I mean, it's the quarterbacks that'll be out to watch this coming college season is Caleb Williams, who won the Heisman. He's at USC. Drake May is the one you're referencing, from UNC. Mm-hmm. And then Quinn Ewers from Texas is another one that's another big name to watch. So there's quarterbacks at the top of the draft, as it feels like there are every single year. But something that Adam Schefter just posted is, I think, leaning to what you are suggesting when it comes to Hopkins. So he was on an I Am Athlete podcast that I know you listen to regularly. He listed five quarterbacks he'd most like to catch passes from.
Ooh, Lamar Jackson was one.
Josh Allen's one. Jalen Hurts is one.
Please go to NFC.
Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, and Lamar Jackson.
So
out of that group, which place could he go to and have the biggest impact?
I mean, naturally, it's stacking the deck, getting the Super Bowl, going to play with Patrick Mahomes.
But Kansas
I don't
City,
know if they'll be able to pay. I don't know if they'll pay him the money that he wants. You look at a team like the Chargers.
Is Buffalo really the best spot for him, though? I don't know if Buffalo's the best spot.
Well, Buffalo, yeah, he's a big time receiver, right? You need somebody opposite of Stephon Diggs, right? Who, you know, Gabe Davis is going to be a free agent next year. You give the money to him. They don't have, you know, tremendous salary cap space, but they can always get some money back from Josh Allen. And say, you know what, we can go all in. We talked about Buffalo and their window closing. So if I'm San Diego, if I have an opportunity now where I think the defense is set, I got two bookends on the outside and Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to go and try to listen, because you haven't been able to depend on Keenan Allen, who's always hurt. Mike Williams always hurt. They went out and got Quentin Johnson from TCU, guy that you love. But, man, you get DeAndre Hopkins. Now you just stack the deck. Mm. You know, so I don't care. You sign him to a one-year $20 million deal or $22 million and let it be that way. But also Baltimore, stacking the deck. Lamar Jackson, you got a young defense on that side. You know you got to put up points. That would put them on par with – Cincinnati Bengals in that division when you think about the three-headed monster they got. Now, just imagine having Zay Flowers, Bateman, Odell Beckham, and DeAndre Hopkins with Mark Andrews,
and right.
Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. So the Giants clearly aren't on this list. But that's the name that, you had brought up Hopkins when you had heard about all the rumors about you know, his future in Arizona.
Sense.
It didn't seem long. And you thought, man, what a great trade that would be for the Giants. And the Giants clearly didn't want to trade for the $19 million salary slot.
Yeah, but I wonder if
you
try and get Daniel Jones on that list. Hey, man, come here, man. You can be our Gabe Davis. Like, come on, man. You can be our number one. He goes to any of those other places. Yes, he's a number one talent. He's been a number one. He's box office. But I don't know if he'll be number one option if he goes any place but the Giants. I mean,
what a difference he'd make if the Giants could have found a way to get him. That's a big difference maker, because their receiving core is decent. It's not great.
Deep. They went out and got Paris Campbell.
They have depth. But
Jameson Crowder.
But there's no
stud. They don't have no stars outside of Waller. You put him with Waller out there.
Yeah.
Now you cooking with grease, man.
That could be
special.
Now you
got a dominant player on the outside and Waller on the inside. You put them on the same side where you can't put your corner on them unless you're playing corners over. And now you got a tight end there sitting on your nickel back, and he's 6'5", and he can run away and catch over this dude. Or you got to put a safety over there. Come on, man. Now you're saying, okay, listen, we go do this. Saquon, I ain't paying you nothing. You paying on this franchise tag. We about to try and win this chip.
Well,
that can help them close the gap on Philadelphia within that division. That would make them – they wouldn't be the favorite because of what Philadelphia has done. But you mean to tell me – I mean, I would say Waller and Hopkins is just as good, if not better, than AJ Brown and Smith.
So he had now again, he's 31 years old. What the reports were that they've tried to get trades. Nobody wanted to touch the 19-4.
He's one of the top three highest.
And it's 14. Yeah, and it's 14-9 is the base for the following year at 32 years old. I mean, again, if I'm thinking about this, the Giants just felt like this wasn't necessary. They didn't want to do this. You got to explain to me. You know more than I do. Well, why wouldn't the Giants think of this as a value move for them? What's the issue with Hopkins that they wouldn't say?
Not at that number.
Why?
If, because that number is astronomical. They had to pay Lawrence. They're still having problems trying to figure out how to pay Saquon Barkley. You can't bring another guy out and say, hey, we didn't pay Lawrence yet. We paid Danny Dimes. That's the problem. This is when you still have that conversation that they haven't had yet, when you talk about asking Leonard Williams to take a pay cut to remain on this roster. You have to take advantage of this window. You know, football is about windows and stacking the deck. And when you see somebody come free like this, where it's a free fall,
yeah,
like you should be putting a package together and talking about, hey, you come here to New York, all the other things you'll be able to do. And the fact that we were a playoff team and we have Saquon Barkley, all we're missing is you. Mm. Right? Those other places, like Lamar Jackson, you look at Lamar Jackson, he's saying, I got Odell Beckham. Right? Who are they going to say that?
Odell, you don't know his health from one game to another.
I know. No, what I'm saying is, as I'm trying to pitch DeAndre Hopkins to New York, I'm saying you got one of the best coaches. You got the coach of the year.
Yep.
And we know how to get you the ball. You have a quarterback that is mobile and a quarterback also that can throw the ball deep. One of the best things that Danny Dimes do is throw the ball deep. And you have Saquon Barkley where they have to respect the box. And you got Darren Waller that I can put next to you, and I know that he knows how talented Darren Waller is. Listen, this should be a free-for-all.
It's interesting, though.
I think the Giants should really be digging their heels in and trying to figure out
if they can sign him,
get to him, to see who do we know that know him, what connections do we have to him to let him know before he makes any decision, please let us bring him in and tell – because he's not in a rush to go anywhere right now. He'll be there, and he'll get caught up to speed during training camp, and he won't be playing any mandatory OTAs and stuff like that in the next 3 weeks. He's going to be a guy that's going to probably wait to after June 2nd to see if who's getting released and who has the best opportunity to be able to get him out there. Man, this is big news, man. This is earth-shattering. This is almost – I wouldn't say this is like Kevin Durant being put out there, but DeAndre Hopkins, before Devontae Adams became who he was him. And the only reason he wasn't him last year is because he had the suspension for 6 games. Giant fans, where the hell are you at? Call up.
Does this – wait. Does this not also kind of say – like – and I go back to what Micah Parsons said. Like, is Daniel Jones not somebody that gets a lot of respect around the league?
Well, listen, he asked for he was on there talking to Von Miller, I believe. And he was asking – Von Miller was asking him what
– No. I don't mean the list. I mean, the list is obvious. I mean, Mahomes and Lamar. Yeah. I mean, look at the names on there. Josh Allen, Mahomes. I mean, of course those are guys. Herbert. Is there one guy where you're like, why would you want to play with that guy? I mean, those are all brand names. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is it's like – the Giants,
like Ronnie Dangerfield, he doesn't get no respect.
Well, how critical of a piece would that be for the Giants to be a competitive team?
The problem is you can't call Saquon, who people love and adore, and say, "Hey, call DeAndre Hopkins." He's like, hold anybody get this
dude?
No,
that
my
ain't
money.
Happening.
Hell
maybe,
to the Nizzle. This dude been paid twice.
Hey, maybe you can hear from Darren Waller. So listen to Darren Waller, who was speaking yesterday about the experience of playing with the Giants, and just what he likes about being in this organization and playing in, like you mentioned it earlier, in a big market.
Not a lot of people get to say that they can play football in a market like this or in a city like this with people as passionate as this fan base is. So it's all about your perspective, whether you look at it as it's scary or you look at it as this is a really cool opportunity. So I view it as a great opportunity.
All right, so that he has that opportunity about in the big market. Now, that's one thing to keep in mind because, D-Hop has played in Houston and he's played, in Phoenix, but what's the difference is coming to New York and being part of a team, that's that. But how about this part of it? Because I mentioned Daniel Jones. And I don't know how players feel about Daniel Jones. We don't know. You don't really hear people talking about him. And the one time you did, it was Micah Parsons, who was like, that guy ain't the show. The running back's the show. That's the guy we prepare for, not the quarterback. Here's Darren Waller and his brief experience he's learned about Daniel Jones so far.
I learned he's a smart guy. He's funny. He's driven. He's one of the hardest workers as far as coming in early for preparation and staying after for recovery and doing what he needs to do, having a routine, having a plan. I feel like that sets the tone when this guy that's stepping in the huddle telling us what we need to do, where we need to go, he's really out here putting all the work in and then some.
You know what I didn't hear?
Pretty balls?
Yeah. I didn't hear...
He thought he has a pretty ball.
Honestly, that's what I didn't hear.
Tua actually has probably one of the prettiest balls I've ever caught in my life. So
I mean, that was some overachiever stuff. You know,
tell me about it. He told me that he's a tryhard. Yeah. I love Daniel Jones personally. He's a great dude.
Danny Disney
Knives. But I'm telling you, I didn't hear him once say, I was watching film, man, this guy can zip it. Like anything? Yeah. Anything like that?
Oh, he's super accurate. You know what I mean?
And whatever it is, like I'm looking forward to, you know, to catching passes from this dude. Like you didn't get that. You just got, you know, he's a hard worker.
Bro, like on the low, I mean, this isn't just for, you know, the people on that list. If I'm the Jets, I'm thinking, hey, I can move Garrett Wilson into the slot, bro, and have Alan Lazard and have him in the slot doing his work.
What are you saying, Bart Scott? What are you saying, Bart Scott?
Why wouldn't the Jets stack the deck?
What are you saying, Bart Scott?
Just to benefit from not having to pay all these
guys. What are you saying, Bart Scott?
I'm saying if I'm the Jets and I'm Joe Douglas, I'm saying what it takes to get him there. Now, he can say whatever you want about those other guys, but A.A. Ron is the magnet. Right, and remember we talked about the allure of Aaron Rodgers, the fact that A.A. Ron said, listen, I throw a much better ball than Daniel Jones. You come here, we're trying to do something here. We're trending.
Who?
We got the money, and we can be here, and then we can say who got the best receiving core when you're talking about DeAndre Hopkins and Garrett Wilson on the outside, because I think you put Lazard, you put him to the bench. It doesn't matter. He's making $11 million. He's going to get his playing time. I mean, you figure it out. Like, you get a guy like that because the Jets got a great number one. We don't know how great his number two is. But if you put that out there, then I would put Garrett Wilson and DeAndre Hopkins right there with Chase and Higgins. Right there with A.J. Brown and Smith. Right there with Waddle and Tyreek. Hey, if it's all it's going to cost you is money, you got the money. Tell A-Ron to keep doing that. You know, Lawson just cleared up a lot of space, man. If you're in New York, if you're in Gotham City, whether you Jets or Giants, it should be a bid for this guy's services ASAP. Like, now I ain't talking about, listen, no text. We call it. If you got to call his mama, you call somebody that know him. They're like, listen, we just want to talk, sir. And you're a businessman. We businessmen. This is Gotham City. You're going to be on 6 primetime games. We all going to see you. Reset your market, baby. What you want? What it's going to take? How much of these dollars telling to stop?
So there's something that he did recently that I was Googling this because I wanted to see, has he ever been mentioned with, you were just talking about the Jets. They did a thing with DeAndre Hopkins where they told him, you can't say anything, but show your body language, like answer. So they give him different teams, and how does he react? So Patriots, right, was the first one.
I'm already with
and
you.
He just kind of looked away, like just as if to say, nah.
Yep.
All right, next one was the Bills. He looked at the camera, and he kind of like grinned and like nodded. All right, so this is, again, DeAndre Hopkins. So then Jets came up, same thing as the Patriots, looked away.
Yeah, but you know
like,
why?
Like, nah.
But you know what? Guess what?
Chiefs, nodded, looked at the camera. I'm watching this thing as it's going on here. So when the Jets came up, he gave a look like, I'm all set.
But you know what I want you to
why
do,
Why would he
Alan?
Do that?
What I want you to do, Alan, I want you to look at that timestamp. That's because they still hadn't landed A-Ron. It was still like he said he was.
Are you
go
sure
there,
that was
done.
That I wasn't positive. After?
Guess what? I saw it live, baby. You know what I'm saying? I saw it live, of course. I know exactly when it was. This was a couple of months ago.
That was that long ago?
This was at least 6 weeks ago. Absolutely. A.A. Ryan wasn't signed on wax. This was before the draft, son. Yeah, man. A.A. Ryan changes it all, man. He's like, hey, man.
Now, I'm going to give you another team that by the way, I love this too.
Giants better get in there.
When we talk about the Giants and we talk about, like, you know, no one really too excited about playing with Daniel Jones, how about Dak Prescott? How come nobody ever mentions Dak Prescott as a guy? Oh, I want to go there. I want Dak Prescott throwing me passes.
Yeah.
I mean, you ever notice that?
Yeah,
because there's a team that certainly could use him, right?
I don't know if they know if he got that clutch gene.
Ooh,
that's big. I mean, just think this is a man that played with DeAndre Hopkins with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, say what you want before all the controversy. This dude got that clutch gene.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
50?
She is almost 50.
49.
48.
48?
Turned 48 today.
48?
How about that?
Oh, she was a 72, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
70. Well, not 72, but
72.
That's not 70. It's not 72.
Damn it. I tried to do math out loud again.
Went the other way.
Damn it.
Right. 70s is correct. It's just not 72 as the year. Since I was born in 71, that's definitely not possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
74.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
You good?
No, my brain hurts.
It does. I was trying to figure all this stuff out. All right, but I'll tell you what. Here's what we'll do, because we're going to have some fun. Bart is going to fight with a robo-ump. We're going to see how that will sound, because we want managers arguing with umpires. We still want that in the game. So if you're going to have a robo-ump, how's it going to sound? We'll do that a little bit later on the show. We got your calls. DeAndre Hopkins is now suddenly available. The Arizona Cardinals have released him, and they did try to trade him. The Giants were probably a team that might have called. I would think Joe Shane called. But $19 million salary was probably too rich for their blood, decided not to make any type of move. But he's now available to everybody. And he kind of made it clear. You disagree with me. I don't. He made a face about the Jets that made me think he's not coming. He doesn't want to be in the Jets.
But don't let him go to the Bills.
But he likes the Bills. And
he likes Herbert.
Chiefs.
He likes L.A. He likes living in L.A.
Surfer ski.
He likes living in L.A. Listen, the fact that he likes two people in your division lets you know that you cannot let him go to that opposite team. So even if you don't really want him, you got to get him just to keep him from going to the other dude.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, DeAndre Hopkins, and Travis Kelce.
In your conference? High? Yeah, no, that's definitely
not high?
I am not high yet. It is still – we're not at the weekend. 800-919-3776. So we will get your call stacked, racked, and ready to go on that. And by the way, get the Giants in on this thing, man. Let's go. But in the meantime, it's time for us to step aside and let the headline makers do the talking in the segment we like to call
Audio File.
The Audio File.
So, Bart Scott, we have not gotten into, of course, what happened last night in Boston, where a series that looked like it was done, dead in the water, over, complete.
Finito.
Is now all of a sudden heading to a Game 6 Saturday night back in South Beach as the Celtics get a 110-97 win over the Miami Heat. And the Celtics now have closed that series that was once 3-0 to 3-2. Why is it significant? Because while in other sports, teams have come back from an 0-3 deficit, in the NBA, teams that have gone down in an 0-3 deficit in a best-of-seven series are 0-150 in coming back to win the series.
So you're saying it's a chance.
Exactly. It has never happened. But now all of a sudden, there's this feeling that momentum has switched. And now, as Jason Tatum so gleefully points out, the pressure's off the Celtics. It's more on the Heat now.
Pressure on them, right? We down 3-0. Nobody thought we was going to win. So we're playing free, playing confident. We're ready to go down to Miami.
Playing free and playing confident and ready to just go down to Miami and play free. No, hell no. I disagree. There's pressure on Boston. You are one loss from being sent home.
Again.
They got two games to win one. You got to win both. Who's under more pressure? Let's be honest.
I mean, right now, listen, Miami's an eighth seed. So if they want to use that, we ain't supposed to be here. We playing
right.
House money anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, what are we talking about? This is a team that lost the play-in. Like, what are we talking about? So you're the team that was supposed to be the favorites. You're the team that went to the championship last year. I think the pressure's more on you, and the pressure comes shifts on you because now it's not a far-fetched dream. It's close to reality. Yeah. Are you telling yourself, hey, if you're Boston, if we win one more, then we get game 7 in our place? Well, guess what? The same way you're comfortable in Miami's place, they're comfortable in your place as they kick your ass there just as many times you kick their ass in Miami and South Beach.
We talked about this on First Take, at the very beginning of First Take, and Perk said it, and he said it so perfectly. Why are we all of a sudden just so ready to just hand flowers over to the Celtics? What'd they do? They won one game to avoid being swept, and then they won a home game. Like, come on. Like, what have they done? And they're making threes. Jimmy Butler decided he's going to flip the script. Pressure's on us. Oh, no, no, no. We're fine. We lost two, so what? And did he guarantee a game six win?
We just got to play better, start the games off better on the starters, make it more difficult for them. They're in a rhythm since the beginning of the game, but we're always going to stay positive, knowing that we can and we will win this series, and we'll just have to close it out at home.
We can and we will win this series. So is that a guarantee, Bart?
I will. I believe.
I believe that we.
I believe that we will what?
I believe that we will win. I believe that we will win. Okay, we'll see.
Enough of that, yeah.
You know what, though? You need playoff Jimmy, not play-in Jimmy to show up, all right?
Yeah, he looking a little tired. You know what I'm
saying? That would be nice.
Tired ball, come down. Yeah. Tired, dog tired.
Yeah, but he needs to get off to a good start. So there's a lot certainly riding on what he can do on Saturday night. But that's a hell of a game. 8:30 Saturday night. I mean, you're going to get – Harlan's going to be doing the Jimmy frickin' Butler and all kinds of stuff. Like, that's going to be a wild atmosphere because it does feel like whoever wins that game is probably winning the series. So we shall see. But in the meantime, talk about somebody that has seen what Jimmy Butler can do when he gets into playoff Jimmy mode. Jrue Holiday. He certainly knows it because Jimmy Butler knocked out Jrue Holiday and the Bucks in the first round. A shocking upset of the eighth seed over the number one seed, a team that everybody thought could be playing for the championship this year. Jrue Holiday was on a podcast, Sideline Stroll with Roz, I guess is what it's called.
Close enough.
Yeah. And he said, he talked about Jimmy Butler in a way like you just knew. This guy, you remember Bruce Leroy? He had the glow. Listen to how Jrue Holiday describes how, and who could have stopped Jimmy Butler that night?
How I look back on it now was, it was fun. I played a game to go against the best players. I played defense to play against the best players, no matter what position or however it may be. While I was in it, I was hot. Man, I'm getting my ass busted. And then he started talking, I think it was the last game or something like that. And it's like, yeah, that's what competitors do. And Jimmy is the ultimate. I mean, Jimmy's the ultimate competitor. But you hate losing. Like, I hate losing.
Would you have done anything different against him now that you have the time to think about it?
I made the decision that I made in that moment or in those moments, and I stuck with him and I stuck with my guns. And a lot of the plays Jimmy made, there was nothing that I could do. Like, there's nothing that anybody could do. It didn't matter if it was Brooke on him, if it was LeBron James or Michael Jordan on him. It didn't matter who was on him. Jimmy was playing at a different level.
He was just in that place that was so amazing. Like, again, he had that. I mean, he had the 20-point fourth quarter.
You're on fire.
He was. And it was nuts. And that's the reason why they got into the second
Prince
round.
He was Prince and Dave Chappelle.
Game blouses.
Shoot to J.
Shoot it. Yeah. But that's what the Celtics are making him do now. It really does look like they're just saying, we're going to make you a jump shooter, take away your drives, and see if you could be that guy. I just don't know. Bart, does Jimmy Butler have it in him to reach down and give you one more playoff Jimmy performance to win this series and go to the finals?
I think he does. I think the fact that they got blew out and he was able to get some rest, you'll have him charged up. And I'm just concerned that Gabe Vincent, who was giving him 17 points a game, they need that because that allows them not to be able to gang up and stack their defense against them. That gives them somebody that when they double Jimmy, Jimmy knows he can give it to Vincent and he can make the shot, which frees up Duncan Robinson as well. You know what I mean? At certain times, to just give you something. You can't have that balanced scoring that Boston had. You can't have four guys with 20
points.
Four guys
with 20, I know.
That can't happen. You got to pick your poison and say, we're going to take something away. And if you're giving everything, if everybody get a basket, then you'll find yourself on the wrong side of history.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Like I don't like ever making it about, like, you know, make or miss, because that always sounds like really like you're diminishing the game when you say that. It's make or miss. But it legit has been for the Celtics. There's a number that is the only number that matters. And that is that over the last couple of games, the last two games now, the Celtics have shot over 40% from three. They are now 38-2 this season and 9-1 in the playoffs when they shoot over 40% from three. 38-2 and 9-1. That's all you need to know. So that's your mood swing. So games 1 and 3. Here's all you need to know. Like, why were they down 0-3? They shot 29% from three, and they were outscored by 39 points from the three-point line. In games 4 and 5, they shot over 40% from three, and they were plus 51 from the three-point line. I hate making it as simple as make or miss, right? But, Bart, sometimes that's what it is. And when you make threes, suddenly you feel better about playing defense. It's a wild phenomenon in the NBA. Well, I'm making shots. Now I'm a better defender because I'm making shots.
I mean,
but it happens.
Yeah, I mean, you heard Jimmy Butler say the same thing, right? You heard him say, hey, our defense, we aren't hitting shots. Our defense hasn't been good.
Yep.
I mean, we got to be better. We got to start off faster.
Yeah. All right, that's Audio Files. Thank you, Ray. Thank you, Jacob.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
What also doesn't age is when we go to the phones, and we love to talk to you. And let's go right now to Mike in Manhattan, as the breaking news is that DeAndre Hopkins was released by the Cardinals, and now, of course, everybody, including Jets fans and Giants fans, are saying, how can we get him on our team? Mike, what do you got?
Perfect song. I'm going to make you want me, baby. That's what Aaron is saying to D-Hop. D-Hop is going to the Jets, baby. Let's go, Jets! Is that the best roster in the NFL with D-Hop? I think so. Let's go, Jets!
Oh, Mike is feeling it. Mike is feeling it.
Double down when you – listen, when you got that hand and that, when you got the dealer and he's showing a 6 or 2 and you sitting there and you got that ace, you know you got that ace. You're going to beat him regardless.
So you need Aaron Rodgers to make the call here, right? Like, it's Aaron Rodgers that makes the call.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, it's me. I'm out of the darkness. Come to the light.
I mean, that's – yeah.
That's all he got to say.
Josh Allen, you really want Josh Allen throwing you footballs? You know how many turnovers that dude has? Like, you start doing stuff like you're throwing shade at people.
You're like, yo, you know he's going to, you know, if Stephon Diggs, he throw the ball to Stephon Diggs too many times.
Stephon gets upset now if he doesn't get passes. Right, he gets upset. So now you come in. You sure you want that? Let's go to Anthony and Hawthorne. Anthony.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday. I don't know how these general managers find out. I don't know if they find out how we find out, like with notifications on their phone, or if this is stuff that like they already know about. But Eric DaCosta should have been on the phone 20 minutes ago trying to do whatever he possibly can to get him to come over and play with Lamar. They have to do whatever they possibly can to surround him with as much talent as they possibly can to see if he can actually grow into the passer that we all think he is. But I hope it's something that happens. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Absolutely, because you look in the division, you know, you still, you know, with all the additions you had, you know, the Bengals still have the better weapon, you know, the receiving core.
So, I mean, it's crazy. And if you're trying to make Lamar and prove that he can be the pocket passer that we all – I saw him do it in college.
I mean,
and that's the story, that you're going to – that Todd Monken's there to make him throw the ball down the field. Why not get him one of the best downfield threats that there is in the league?
Well, you know, you think about all these guys. He's a possession receiver too. He's a guy that you can throw the 50-50 ball. So Lamar Jackson will have two guys that if he gets in trouble and extend plays and they're covered, he's going to throw it to Mark Andrews. He's going to throw it to him regardless. And, you know, Odell Beckham is great, but he's inconsistent at times. He'll have some great one-finger catches, and then he'll have some where it's like it's like concentration drops.
Yeah, and Odell, it's again, it's how much usage can you give him for a guy that's had the injuries that he's had?
He's healthy. He missed 6 games because he decided to be Wes Walker or Lance Armstrong last year.
Yeah, that is true. Now, Richard in Valley Stream, Bart, has a question for you that I was thinking the same thing yesterday during our time on First Take. Richard, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, guys. Listen, this is the best show and my favorite show on ESPN. I wish, you know, y'all show could be longer, you know what I mean? I got a couple of points to make, and then I'll hang up and listen. First, you know, Alan, I want to say, you know, I'm a Jets fan, I'm a Yankees fan, and I'm a Knicks fan. Now, am I wrong for, like, you know, wanting Boston to beat Miami? And then as soon as Bart, I'm a big fan. I love you, man. I watch you on ESPN. I don't know if it was yesterday, the day before. You know, it was you. You was going at Riddick Lewis, right?
Yeah.
And he was talking about the Jets. And then, you know, he mentioned that he thought that Miami was a better team.
He actually what he did, Richard. I'll let all the listeners know. Lewis Riddick went on the record to say that the Miami Dolphins are winning the AFC East. He said it with his chest.
Right.
Even though his buttons were all the way up, his chest was out when he said it.
What you didn't hear is I went Waka Flocka on him. Now, I understand. I got a producer in my ear saying, you know, we got to cut it. We got to hard out. But I told him, Tua can't. You got to worry about Tua even staying healthy. I told him that Jalen Ramsey's like Delta O'Neal. He's giving up bombs, you know what I mean, to receivers. So I went at him big time. And I said Jets beat him last year.
I'm gonna tell you why I was a little bit disappointed, Bart. Mm-hmm. You know, I love you, man. But like when you were talking about the Dolphins running game, and I'm like, oh, get him, Bart. He's talking about, you know, how the Dolphins running game is better than the Jets. I'm waiting for Bart to get out of here.
He didn't say it was better than the Jets. He said that dominant run game because what they did against Buffalo in the playoffs. So he wasn't talking about the Jets. He was talking about how they was able to run the ball when they decided to take the ball out of Tua's hands. But what I said is, you know what I'm saying, the Jets, got Aaron. So when you talk about Jalen Ramsey being added to the division, or if you talk about, you know, Aaron Rodgers, who's going to have a better impact? And that's what he was like. But then you guys got to understand, when I go first and then he go, then I cut him in,
yeah,
and then he go, I can't go back because we got to go to commercial break.
It's time to go to break. Yeah, that's the one thing about TV that makes
– football.
That does take – it's a challenge is that someone gets the last word and you're always like, wait, I had something else to say to that, but you just don't get the opportunity to do it.
You heard Molly on the way when I was like, yeah, see if he can stay healthy. He's like, oh, Barch. And they were telling me to shut up two segments ago. I was like, nah, man, I'm getting that in.
When Molly shushes you, it's time to stay quiet. You know that for sure. Freddie's in Brooklyn. Hey, Freddie.
Hi, guys. I think that the pressure is more on Miami rather than Boston, because Boston is finally playing like the better team that we know they are. There was a reason why we were all shocked that the Miami was up 3-0, because we know that wasn't supposed to be happening. We knew Miami. We knew that Boston was the better team. And don't forget, Miami won those series before because they were shooting the three-pointers at a high rate that was more anomaly rather than usual for them. And now they've come back to earth with those three-pointers. That's why they're going to lose. You say that Miami needs one more game, but Boston only needs one more game, and they're going to win.
But they need two more games.
Can I say something to Freddie first?
No, Freddie, they need one Freddie. More because they're going to win game six.
You don't know they're going to win game seven.
Freddie, I want to say something to Freddie. Freddie, you call up here every week.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, you are always one of our best callers.
Yeah, we love them.
Most informed, and you make more sense. Like, you almost make too much sense to be a fan. Like,
yeah, way too logical of a call.
Yeah, you're too logical, man. You can't be coming up here with facts. We need you irate saying stuff that we can debunk. It's tough to debunk some of the stuff you say.
But I will. This is one of the rare times that Freddie calls and I disagree. Freddie, I'm telling you, how could you say that the pressure's all on Miami when Boston's got to win two games?
Well, it's the pressure's on Miami in game six to win at home.
The pressure's on both teams in
game
six. No, the pressure's on both teams to win game six. If Miami loses game six, they still have a chance to win.
Yeah, but we know the odds of winning a game seven in somebody's house isn't high.
What is Boston's record at home again this season? Can you check it for me? Because I know what it is, and it's barely .500.
Did they lose to Golden State in game seven at Golden State, or was it in Boston?
It didn't go to seven.
Oh, it didn't? Damn.
No.
Damn.
Yeah. That's not how that worked out last
year.
Thank you, Freddie.
I'm like Dory.
Oh, yes, you are.
Six?
You are so much like Dory. Really, you are Dory.
Yeah, I am.
Short-term memory loss.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.